From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Two kindergarten students are in critical condition after a school shooting in Butte County. It happened yesterday afternoon at the Feather River Adventist School along Highway 70 in Oroville. Now, before we continue, it's important to note that this is still very much a developing situation. The Butte County Sheriff is going to hold a press conference at 3 p.m. today. And as you know, Insight airs live at noon with a rebroadcast at 7 p.m. So there will be updates throughout the day on Cap Radio, as well as our sister station, North State Public Radio, NSPR, based in Chico. So we're going to dive into what we know so far. During yesterday's press conference, Butte County Sheriff Corey Honey said that the two students injured are both boys, ages 5 and 6 years old, and are currently at a trauma center in the Sacramento area.
The injuries are very, very serious, and these children are in extremely critical condition. The fact that they are being treated by medical staff currently, I think, is great. It's good that they're still in the position of being treated. But folks, we're not out of the woods yet.
And the sheriff adds that deputies responded to the school just after 1 p.m. yesterday after an adult man walked into the school and fired shots at students on the playground. As I mentioned, there is just a lot that we don't know. Another press conference is scheduled this afternoon. Cap Radio reporters Rishi Prabha and Kate Wolf traveled to Oroville yesterday and join us with their conversations with family and loved ones. Welcome to you both.
Hi, Vicky.
Hi, Vicky.
Well, Shashi, I want to start with you. Can you tell us what you learned about the school and really just contextualize what happened yesterday?
So the kindergarten to eighth grade school is affiliated with the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's located at the corner of Cox Lane and Highway 70 in Oroville, California, and it's been around since 1965. It was near open fields, and it was kind of in a rural community. It serves 33 students and has only 4 teachers that hold multiple roles. California has had the most school shootings of any state, 270 over the last 50 years. And from my research, this might be the first in Butte County.
Yeah, these never get easier, even though they continue to happen. Let's listen to Oroville Mayor David Pittman, who touched upon describing the school as you just did, but also really kind of also describes the significance of the school to the community.
It's a very longstanding school that's been there for elementary students for many, many years. It's a great little school. It's sad to see an event like this happen. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, schools are sacred ground. And the kids enjoy that as the one safety and security place for their activities. And to have it broken like this with such an event is a traumatic event that's going to really scar this school for a long time.
And not only the school, but the broader community. I mean, we're talking about students, of course, but also school staff and loved ones and family members. And that was the focus of both of your reporting yesterday. Kate, what did you see when you arrived on scene?
So I arrived on scene about 3 p.m., about 2 hours after the shooting. And as folks have said, it's a really small school, not quite a one-room schoolhouse, but close to it. Reporters were being moved. At that point, things had calmed down a little bit, but there were about 7 to 8 squad cars, about a dozen deputies walking through the school. There was in front of me and right by the school gate, a play field and a play structure. And right next to that was a blue tarp that was covering a person. What we now understand is the shooter who had died of a self-inflicted gun wound before deputies had arrived.
Yeah, when you were there, I mean, it was still very much a developing situation, still is to this day. Shrishti, what did it look like for you?
So I arrived 30 minutes after Kate. So for me, many of the roadblocks were already there. It was hard to get too close to the school. But Kate and I made our way over to the Church of the Nazarene in Oroville, which is where families were being reunited. And when I went there, I saw sheriffs, I saw county people, pastors and families. There were people praying. There were people crying. There was food for them. You could tell it had been a very difficult day for everyone. It was a pretty grim scene.
Yeah, and Kate, as we mentioned, the two students who are victims and are injured in critical but stable condition are in kindergarten. They are 5 and 6 year old boys. You spoke with friends and family members, the community of those victims. What did they tell you?
So right outside the church were 19-year-old Natalie Orozco and her dad, Josh. They live in Oroville nearby, and they call Feather River Adventist School FRAS. So they're really close with it. It, of course, as we said, has only 33 students, and some of Josh's other kids had gone to the school. When I spoke with Natalie, she said she first thought that when she heard of the shooting, they meant Feather River College in nearby Quincy.
And then my sister called, and she was like, yeah, it's like our little school, and it just didn't feel real, but just wanted to be here, just give everyone hugs.
And her father, Josh, told me it was a close friend's child who was shot. So it's clearly just a small and close community, and people wanted to be present and pray with each other. This is a really religious community that was affected. I also connected with Sylvia Rosasen and her husband, Jerry. They were praying with the pastor and spoke to me afterwards. They said they'd enrolled both of their children in the school over 20 years ago, and their grandson, the five-year-old, was shot and was being operated on. But they had really positive things to say about the school, even though they said they didn't know much about where things stood.
We're praying. We're praying for the whole vicinity. We don't know motives. We have no idea. We feel sorry for him.
So we will hopefully get an update on how both children are doing during today's 3 p.m. press conference at the sheriff's facility in Oroville.
Yeah, and that grandparent just really hones in what I think a lot of people are asking. Why did this happen? Why was this school targeted? So I want to move briefly to the suspect. Here is Butte County Sheriff Corey Honey sharing what he knows as of Wednesday evening.
This individual called and made the appointment a couple of days ago. I'm not sure which day. It was scheduled for today. He showed up today, and then the incident occurred right after the meeting with the administrator. And at this point, we're trying to determine the veracity of that statement as to whether or not he actually was there to enroll or talk about enrolling a student, or if that was instead a ruse to get onto the campus.
Okay, so this individual actually made an appointment to go to the school. Kate, what else do we know about the suspected shooter?
So the shooter died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. He arrived by Uber. They're in conversation with the Uber driver to find out what was said and communicated on the drive over. I did connect with the spouse of the secretary at the Feather River School, and she had told her spouse that she had sat down with the shooter and he had seemed perfectly normal. And that's also consistent with what the sheriff says, that the administration had met with this man and he had seemed, quote, normal. And then soon after, the shooting occurred.
And they're still working to understand the why. And when it comes to that motive, that is still unknown. But we're going to listen again to Sheriff Honey sharing what he knew as of yesterday.
We have received some information that leads us to believe that the subject responsible for this shooting targeted this school because of its affiliation with the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
We do not believe that there was any connection between the shooter and the victims of this crime, nor do we believe that there was any prior connection to this particular school.
Okay, so we're getting some details, but there's still a lot of question marks as this investigation continues. We're hearing from the Sheriff's Department, Kate, but there are other law enforcement agencies that are part of this. You also spoke with Butte County District Attorney Michael Ramsey. What did he tell you?
So District Attorney Ramsey said that he'd arrived soon after the shooting and it was his worst nightmare to get the call. He shared it was very heavy once he arrived at the school.
Mind-boggling. I mean, I was at the scene in one of the more sad pictures that will be in my mind outside a bathroom, a tiny pair of tennis shoes and blood into the bathroom. So that'll stay with me for a while.
And you can hear that heaviness. Ramsey's office is playing a supporting role for the sheriff's office and local law enforcement, and they're going to reach out to the parents to offer survivor support.
Certainly there's an effort on right now to delve into his background and find out why. I mean, the big question is why.
I think whenever there's a senseless action like this, and I've covered a few, the community really wants to know why. And so I think that's front of mind for law enforcement.
Yeah, absolutely. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CAP Radio reporters Srishti Prabha and Kate Wolf about a school shooting in Butte County yesterday. Two kindergarten students are in critical but stable condition, and the suspected gunman is dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. As I mentioned, there will be a press conference from the Butte County Sheriff's Office today at 3 p.m. That is after Insight's live noon show, and our noon show rebroadcasts at 7 p.m. There will be updates throughout the day on CAP Radio. Srishti, you also spoke with people at the Church of the Nazarene in Oroville, where families were being reunited. What was the feeling, the sentiment there? How are people even trying to start feeling or processing what happened?
I think it was overwhelming for them. Many of them were not speaking to us, understandably so. The younger students were not as aware of what was going on, but it was clearly emotional for the adults around them and their older siblings.
And as we mentioned, this school is a religious school, and pastors are religious leaders in their communities. Mm-hmm. You spoke with the pastor there. What did he tell you? How was he feeling?
So Pastor Travis Marshall was able to be a pillar for his community yesterday. In circumstances like this, families do require community support, and the pastor was there for whatever the families needed. I was there till 6-ish, and he was still waiting till everyone left, and it was quite dark.
Our church has had the honor in our community of being both a Red Cross emergency shelter and also from time to time when there's tragedies in our county as staging areas or reunification areas. And unfortunately, there was a school shooting today at the Adventist school here in our community. And so we were contacted by the county to be a reunification site for parents. So that's something we're committed to. And so we're honored to be able to be hospitable to parents and families and to the authorities.
And Trishy, as you mentioned, understandably, a lot of families want privacy during this mm-hmm. time to process something that's unimaginable. But this pastor is also a person that they can lean on. Did he help give you a sense of how the community is doing, how they are processing the early stages of these emotions?
He did. He was definitely withholding what he was feeling because he was processing what others were. He did let out a big sigh when I asked him how arduous the day had been.
Well, you never want to see these things happen, and there's an exhaustion, I think, in all of us that this continues to happen in our area of the world. And so our hearts are heavy. Just being able to be with parents as they pulled into the parking lot, waiting for news from the authorities and waiting for their children to come on a bus. Just the anguish and the turmoil in their hearts just broke my heart. We still feel the deep pain. And one of the parents shared with me, "I'm just tired of this sort of thing. Why does this have to happen?" So my heart is grieved with that. So yeah, heavy afternoon.
I think there are a lot of people who share with that mm-hmm. parent, shared with that
Absolutely.
Pastor. When it comes to a school is so much more than education. It is an anchor to a community. Oroville is about an hour north of Sacramento in Butte County. You mentioned it's largely a rural area. How did the pastor describe the community that he calls home?
Yeah, I think it's so important to remember that Butte County and Oroville, while they are the scene of this incident, they are much more than that, right? And I think the pastor was able to confront this, and it said something that was very emblematic of that.
Butte County is a very special place, and there's so many families that are experiencing so much brokenness and trial and grief, whether it be from the many fires, floods, and now these sort of things that happen. That's just been, it's been very hard on this community. So you get a sense of exhaustion. I'll keep using that word, exhaustion.
Yeah, and that's completely understandable. In the last minute or two that we have, what does it mean as a journalist to cover something like this? I mean, of course, we're journalists, but we're humans first.
Right. A school shooting is something all education reporters dread covering. You have to be respectful of the people and the event while trying to do our job, which can be onerous. One of the things I'm mindful of is consent. If they don't want to speak, I leave them alone and give them space. A Nieman report surveyed 165 survivors from 48 U.S. communities impacted by mass shootings, and they found that about 47% of them who engaged with the media immediately after the aftermath felt the experience to be exploitive and in some cases even harmful. So I'm just very cognizant of that when I enter a scene.
Yeah, definitely being trauma-informed. And I think it's a real balancing act because it's our job to bear witness, reflect back to the community, record information for immediate and historical reasons, and humanize the story for the average person listening. Because you hear so many stories of mass shootings, of senseless gun violence, and it's important to gather the information and show the families and the children behind this.
Finally, bigger picture, what will the reporting look like next?
Yeah, as an education reporter, I'm thinking about what does community support look like for these people? What does active shooter drills look like, and is it effective? And what is the impact of this type of trauma on a child that's only 5 or 6 years old? But if anyone else has ideas or concerns from an education perspective, please reach out to me.
And I'll just say it's been great to work with our partners at North State Public Radio. They've done a great job, and I'm eager to support them in this coverage and to look into how we can continue to show the picture of gun violence in the state.
You know, Shrishi, as an education reporter, Kate, as a health reporter, I think both of your beats really came into play for covering something that no one wants to experience, yet alone cover as journalists. Thank you both so much.
Thank you, Vicky.
Thank you, Vicky.
That is CAP Radio reporter Shrishi Prabha and Kate Wolf sharing their reporting about a school shooting in Butte County yesterday. Two kindergarten students are in critical but stable condition, and the suspected gunman is dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. As I mentioned, the Butte County Sheriff is holding a press conference at 3 p.m. today. As you know, Insight airs live at noon with a rebroadcast at 7 p.m. So there will be updates throughout the day on CAP Radio, as well as our sister station, North State Public Radio, NSPR, based in Chico. Up next, a homecoming is being celebrated along the Klamath River. Salmon are now spawning in waters that have been cut off for more than a century. We'll learn about the decades-long battle behind the largest dam removal project in U.S. history. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.